this Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have with us our speaker, His Grace. His Grace Balram Shakti Das Prabhuji with us for giving us to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from the verse 5.5.23. Before, thank you, Prabhuji, for giving your association and valuable time for us to give the topic on Srimad Bhagavatam to enlighten us. Before continuing, let me hand over the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji to give a brief intro about Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, my Dhammat pranams to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhu is a full-time monk at Govardhan Eco Village. He completed his BE in Metallurgical Engineering from NIT Tiruchirappalli in 2002. Thereafter, he joined the Pennsylvania State University and graduated with a PhD in Material Science in 2007. While at Pennsylvania State University, he took up to Krishna consciousness as a member of the Vedic Society. He was mentored by His Grace Yugal Kishore Prabhuji. After he moved back to India, he chose to become a full-time monk at Radha Gopinath Temple at Chowpatty, Mumbai. Among others, he was mentored by His Grace Gauranga Prabhuji. In May 2010, he moved to Govardhan Eco Village and has been serving there as full-time devotee. He is an extremely erudite scholar on the Vaishnava scriptures and is one of the teachers at Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radha Nath Swami Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for that introduction. Now let us move on with Prabhuji for enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I once again welcome Prabhuji on the call. Thank you for giving your association. Dandavat pranams. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. So we'll start today's session. I'll just share the screen. Just hold on for a second. So we'll just start with the Mangalacharan prayers. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So I have been asked to speak on today's topic, which is 5.5.23, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 23rd verse. This is teachings of Lord Rishabhadev to his sons. So we will chant the verse, translate.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Shyam Gauri Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, I think Prabhuji has lost his connection. He'll be back, I guess, Mataji, in a couple of minutes.
Okay, fine. Okay, thank you.
So Rishabhdev says, O respectful Brahmanas, as far as I am concerned, no one is equal or superior to the Brahmanas in this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive, after performing rituals according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of the Brahmana. When food is thus offered unto me, I eat it with full satisfaction. This is Rishabhadev telling his sons that if you want me to happily honor the bhoga that you are offering me, instead of offering it in the sacrificial fire, feed a brahmana. I would like to honor the food which is offered through the mouth of the brahmana. Like that the Lord says, Lord Rishabhadev. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than from the food offered in the sacrificial fire. Right. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, according to the Vedic system, after the sacrificial ceremony, the brahmanas are invited to eat the remnants of the offered food. When the brahmanas eat the food, it is to be considered directly eaten by the Supreme Lord. Thus, no one can be compared to qualified brahmanas. The perfection of evolution is to be situated on the brahmanical platform. Any civilization not based on brahmanical culture or guided by brahmanas is certainly a condemned civilization. Presently, human civilization is based on sense gratification, and consequently, more and more people are becoming addicted to different types of things. No one respects brahmanical culture. Demoniac civilization is attached to Ugra Karma. Horrible activities and big industries are created to satisfy unfathomable lusty desires. Consequently, the people are greatly harassed by the governmental taxation. The people are irreligious and do not perform the sacrifices recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Yajyat bhavati parjanyo. By the performance of sacrifice, clouds form and rain falls. Due to sufficient rainfall, there is sufficient production of food. Guided by the brahmanas, the society should follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Then people will become very happy. Prabhupada writes, Annat bhavad bhavanti bhutani. When animals and men are sufficiently fed with grains, they become stronger, their hearts become tranquil, and their brains peaceful. They can then advance in spiritual life, which is life's ultimate destination. So, this is what Srila Prabhupada is indicating here. In this verse, Lord Rishabhadev tells his sons that I would be more happy if you want to feed me. If you feed the brahmanas through their mouth, I would like to honor the bhoga that you offer to me more than even offering it to the sacrificial fire. This is what here Srila Rishabhadev is instructing his sons. So now here, the first theme that we will discuss on this topic is that how important is understanding the context of any subject matter that we are discussing, even though this is an independent verse, but this independent verse also has a context to it. There is a particular circumstance in which Rishabhadev is speaking this verse to his sons, right? So let's try to understand the context. But before that, we will try to understand why is context very important. So in the commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Jiva Goswami, he quotes from one of the Vaishnava tantras, one of the Vaishnava texts, as to the importance of context. He says, how should we understand the proper meaning of any Vedic text? So the verse says, Purva apara anurodena konvarto abhimato bhavet इति आद्यम ऊहनम तर्कः शुष्क तर्कम च वर्जयेत राइट सो ही सेज अर्थः नु अभिमतो भवेत हाउ शुड द मीनिंग बी अंडरस्टूड ही सेज पूर्व अपर अनुरोधेन दिस इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट मीनिंग व्हाट वाज स्पोकन बिफोर what was spoken later, who spoke that verse, to whom was it spoken in a mood of correction, was it spoken in a mood of instruction, was it spoken in a mood of sarcasm, was it spoken in a mood of just joking. So all of that one need to understand, right? Because when you understand that, then the meaning becomes all the more clear, right? Iti adyam uhanam tarkaha. Such reasoning is the logic to be used when trying to understand any shastric verse. So you cannot, if that is the only verse that you know from that whole episode, and if you don't know the context of the verse, it is better we don't quote that verse. Because the meaning can be quite different, right? So we will see some examples. He says, shushka tarkam to varjet, dry logic. Dry logic means without understanding the context, just trying to apply, understand the verse independently out of context or without context. So when we try to understand a particular thing without the context, there is a very good chance that we might understand it out of context, right? So we are going to see an example here now. So let's first try to understand the context of this particular verse, right? So Rishabhdev had 100 sons, and of the 100 sons, 9 of them were Kshatriyas, right? And this particular series of teachings that Rishabhdev was giving was particularly to his Kshatriya sons. Okay. And because the Kshatriyas have to rule their kingdom being guided by the Brahmanas, in this particular section, actually, Rishabhdev is instructing his Kshatriya sons about the importance of Brahmanas and the glories of Brahmanas. Because when you understand the glories of Brahmanas, then you will be inspired to follow their instructions while ruling the kingdom. So that is exactly the context. So the context is this, is that Rishabhdev is instructing his Kshatriya sons to act under the guidance of Brahmanas. And in that context, he is glorifying the Brahmanas. So this context have to be kept in mind, right? So what does Rishabhdev tell? Rishabhdev says, among the living beings, the snakes are superior to the plants, right? Because the snakes can move, the snakes can eat, but the plants are immovable, right? They have, the snakes or the reptiles have more senses which are functional, and their consciousness is little more open. Animals are superior to the snakes because they have a more evolved consciousness and more functional sensory functions, right? Humans are superior to animals because they have still more evolved consciousness. Superior to humans are the Gandharvas. Superior to them are the Kinnaras, superior, and Indra is superior to all of them, right? Sons of Brahma like Daksha are superior to Indra. Shiva, the son of Brahma, is superior to Daksha, and Brahma is superior to Shiva. In the sense, he is the Rajoguna Adipati, and Shiva is Tamoguna Adipati. And because Rajogun is superior to Tamogun, therefore Brahma is said to be superior to Shiva. But constitutionally, Brahmaji is generally a Jiva Tattva, and Lord Shiva is generally is Ishvara Tattva. So from the constitutional point of view, Lord Shiva is superior to Brahma. But from a more functional point of view, In this material world, Lord Brahma is considered to be superior to Lord Shiva. So in that sense, it is indicated, right? And then I am superior to Brahma, Rishabhdev is telling, because he is Vishnu Tattva. And then he says, the best of the Brahmanas are worshipped by me. So he says, even I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worships the Brahmanas. So this, the mood is that even the Supreme Personality of Godhead respects the Brahmanas. So the so Rishabhdev is speaking this particular statement to help the Kshatriya sons understand the importance of following the guidance of Brahmanas. How exalted are they? So how much you should be actually inspired to follow the guidance of the Brahmanas. So in that mood, actually, that is the context in which this verse is spoken, and the subsequent verse also, which we saw today, right? So where Rishabhdev tells that I, more than offering the oblations to the sacrificial fire, you better offer it to the mouth of the Brahmanas, because I like to eat through the mouth of the Brahmanas even more than eating through the sacrificial fire. So that is the context of this particular presentation where Rishabhdev is speaking, right? So in the commentary, the Acharyas say, in order to teach that the Brahmanas should be served, he shows that they are the best amongst all people in four verses. Right, in the next four verses, starting with today's verse and the subsequent next three verses, he is going to tell that how the Brahmanas should be worshipped. Right. So now we will see another similar episode where teachings are similar but a different context. For example, Kapila Dev's teachings to Mother Devahuti. In the third canto, 29th chapter, something very similar comes, right? So, what is the context of that? So, similarly, he says, Jivaha Shreshtahi Ajivanam Tataha Prana Vrita Shubhe Tatascha Sachitta Pravaras Tatascendriya Vrittayaha. So, Kapila Dev says, O Mother, living immobile entities are superior to withered ones. Superior to them are entities with greater life symptoms. Superior to them are the entities with higher consciousness and movement. And superior to them are entities with senses such as trees. So gradually, this is a much more elaborate hierarchy that Kapila Dev is presenting to Mother Devahuti. Right? So he says that and then further he continues that superior to trees are those beings which have a taste sensation, and superior to them are those which have taste and smell, and superior to them are those which have taste, smell, and the sense of hearing. Like that, he gradually establishes a hierarchy very similar to what Rishabhdev is doing it to his Kshatriya sons. But the purpose for which Rishabhdev was doing was to indicate the Kshatriya sons that, look, I am establishing the superiority of Brahmanas over everyone else to the extent of telling that even I worship the Brahmanas. The purpose is to inspire you to follow the teachings of the Brahmanas while ruling your kingdom. But in this context of Kapila Dev speaking to Mother Devahuti, Kapila Dev has till now presented the principles of pure devotional service. So, Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya Nirgunasya Yudahritam Ahaituki Avyavahita Yabhakti Purushottame. Like that, Kapila Dev says that these are the characteristics of pure devotional service. But after establishing the principles of pure devotional service, Kapila Dev indicates that, but Mother Devahuti, we will see why he speaks this gradations. Right, and while establishing these gradations, he says, among the humans, those within the Varnashram are superior. Among the Varnas, the Brahmanas are the best. And among the Brahmanas, one who knows the Vedas is superior. And among the knowledgeable Brahmanas, one who knows the meaning of the Vedas is superior. So he is successively presenting gradations of even human beings, in which he is presenting various gradations of even Brahmanas, right? And better than the knower of the meaning of the Vedas is the Brahmana who can cut doubts, samshaya cheta. One may know the Vedas, but one may not know the application of Vedas. So he may quote the verse number, he may quote the verse, but then what is the application? I have a practical problem. Can you solve through the teachings of your Vedas? That he may not know. So he is better. So better than one who is capable of cutting the doubts is that Brahmana who also performs his duties completely. Right? So apart from the ability to solve the doubts, he should also himself be practicing the process properly. He is better. And better still is that Brahmana who has moved from being a Karma Yogi to a Jnana Yogi. Right? So therefore, that Brahmana does not want to enjoy the results of this material world. He wants liberation. Right? And finally, he establishes that superior to that Jnani is the person who fully dedicates his activities such as hearing and chanting, his wealth, his identity, mind, intelligence, etc. to me. I do not see a greater living entity than this person who has offered himself to me. So he is establishing even greater than this Jnani who has given up desire to enjoy the things of this material world actually is a devotee who has dedicated his life to me. So a similar kind of hierarchy is presented, exactly similar, by Kapila Dev to Mother Devahuti. But what is the purpose? The purpose is that having described bhakti, the glories of practicing pure devotional service, Kapila Dev wants to indicate that in such bhakti, offense creates restriction. If one commits offenses, one's ability to progress becomes stunted, right? Offense generally stems from disrespect to great devotees. So why would you offend? Offense generally is, the foundation of offense is a mood of disrespect towards the devotees. But though such devotees are difficult to see, many exist. For example, Rahuguna could not identify Jadabharat as a great devotee or even as a Brahmana, because from an external point of view, he looked very unkempt and unclean. So he could not identify, so he disrespected. And eventually it turned out that Jadabharat was a perfected devotee, right? So, Dhruva Maharaj, when he was offended by Mother Suruchi, was not even a devotee. He was just a 5-year-old boy, but eventually he turned out to be a devotee, and it became a cause of great misfortune for Suruchi for having offended such a great future devotee, right? So therefore, the root cause of offenses is a general mood of disrespect towards any living entity. So if one cannot carry a generic mood of disrespect and hope to avoid offenses against devotees. So therefore, Kapila Dev is instructing to his mother Devahuti that look, you may practice bhakti very, very perfectly, but if you do not work on your mood of disrespect then towards general living entities, then that mood of disrespect would be carried over to the devotees also, right? So like, say for example, if someone is running a 100-meter race, some of you might have watched a 100-meter race, some of you might have even participated in a 100-meter dash, right? So once they touch the 100-meter line, the race is practically over. And you will not be given any additional prize for running beyond the 100-meter line. But generally, if you see, those who complete the race, they end up running another 25-30 meters beyond the end line also. Why? because they cannot stop at 100 meters because the momentum carries them further beyond 100 meters also. So one should not think that I can actually disrespect everything, but when it comes to devotees, I will have a very respectful attitude. I will be very non-offensive. Generally, that does not work that way, because one tends to carry that momentum of a generic mood of disrespect, and we will end up disrespecting actually devotees also, and which will cause offense. So therefore, Kapila Dev is telling, learn to respect everyone, right? But this learning to respect everyone, okay, so in order to avoid offenses to them, one should pay respects to all living entities, thinking that the Lord is present in all of them, right? So one should pay respects to all living entities. That is why he is explaining this various kinds of living entities. In every single living entity, the Lord is present. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Right? But the point is that then why is he, if the Lord is present in everyone's heart, why is he establishing a hierarchy, Kapila Dev, in order to indicate to his mother that unlike the jnani, my devotee does not have to see everything completely with equal vision, but with gradations, right? As Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. He says, a Samadarshi Pandit, or in this case a Jnana Yogi, actually sees the same soul present in the heart of a Brahmana, a dog, a dog eater, an elephant, in all the kinds of species. He understands that the same quality soul is present. So therefore, he offers equal respect. Whereas for devotees, their offering respect is according to the level of development of consciousness of that living entity. Sakale samman korite shakati dehonata jata jata tabeto gaibo harinama suke aparada habe hata. So Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, sakale samman korite shakati dehonata jata jata. My dear Gurudev, please give me the strength to offer respects to everyone. Sakale samman korite shakati, but jata jata, as they deserve according to their development of consciousness. That everyone should be respected is understood, but respect should be given according to their development of consciousness. That is the Vaishnava understanding. In order to put forth this particular point, actually Kapila Dev describes the gradation. But Rishabhadev describes a similar gradation for the purpose of establishing the superiority of the Brahmanas, so that the Kshatriya sons of Rishabhadev can properly take their guidance. But here the purpose is avoid offenses. Because if you do not give respect to any living entity, then that mood of disrespect will carry over to the Vaishnavas also, and then you will end up offending the Vaishnavas, right? So this is the purpose. If you see, the teachings are very similar, Rishabhadev and Kapiladev. The words are same, the presentation is same, the presentation of gradation is same, similar examples are used, but the purpose is totally different, the context is totally different, right? Now let us see a second case study, which is in one sense different. It brings even more stark contrast, because there Rishabhadev is genuinely glorifying the Brahmanas. He is genuinely glorifying the Brahmanas, but in this case Lord Narayan is going to pacify the four Kumaras, right? You all know this story. Third canto is already over in this discussion, right? This whole episode is happening in Vaikuntha. So at the sixth gate of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya, they stop the four Kumaras, right? So Jaya and Vijaya stop the four Kumaras from entering, and the four Kumaras get agitated. So there is an argument that ensues between the four Kumaras and Jaya and Vijaya, and eventually the four Kumaras end up cursing Jaya and Vijaya. And as soon as the Supreme Lord Vishnu comes to know about this episode, along with Mother Lakshmi, he comes running to that particular spot, and he tries to pacify the four Kumaras by speaking verses which sound very similar to the verses that Rishabhdev is speaking about the Brahmanas, right? You will see some of the verses are exactly same, right? But we will see the mood of speaking, right? So he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. So the Supreme Lord Narayan is speaking to the four Kumaras. So he says, Etau tau parshadau muhyam jayo vijaya evacha kadarti kritya mam yadvo bahu akratam atikramam. Yastu etayor drito dando bhavadbir mam anuvratayhi sa eva anumato asmabir munayo devahelanat. So he says, my dear sages, O four Kumaras. So he's addressing the four Kumaras here. Right? Yetau tau parshadau mahyam. Oh, these two are my followers. These two are my parshadas. Jayo Vijayevacha. Their name is Jaya and Vijaya. Mam kadarti kritya. Actually, they have ignored me. They have ignored my instruction. Right? Vaha bahu atikramam akratam. And they have seriously offended you. You are so glorious, Brahmanas. They are just gatekeepers. And they have offended you, right? Therefore, asmabir anumato. Therefore, I permit bhavadbir drito dando. The kind of punishment that you have given them, I will allow that punishment to happen, right? And who to happen to them, who are my anuvratahi. They are dedicated to me, right? Yes to etayor deva helana. Because they have committed an offense to you, I consider it as an offense committed to me. So therefore, I permit the curse that you have given. I let that happen to them. Like that the Lord speaks, right? Now, interestingly, Srila, when words actually do not convey, especially when words, which are spoken words, are written or conveyed, generally they may not convey the mood. So for example, the same words can convey multiple meanings depending on the mood of presentation, right? Say for example, like they'll say, oh, did you have prasadam, right? So this conveys, you can say, like concern, right? Or the same statement can be made like, you had prasadam, right? Same statement, but this indicates sarcasm, right? You must have had good prasadam. Why the work is not getting done, right? So you are more concerned about work. You are not concerned about whether he had prasadam or not. But you are using the word prasadam to indicate that why is the work not getting done, right? So the same statement, but the mood and the message is completely different, right? So here, the four Kumaras, Lord Narayan has come and he says, oh, these are my parshadas, and they have, by ignoring me, they have seriously offended you. So please forgive me like that. And I allow the curse that you have given upon them. Let that curse come true, like that they say. But interesting insight our acharyas give, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He is speaking this. He says, when they say, when Lord Narayan says, etau tau parshadau mahyam, these are my two associates. When he says this, what does he mean? He says, he is indicating to the four Kumaras, oh fools, you have cursed my associates. You have used too much force. Right? I did not empower you so much that you would come to my Vaikuntha and curse my own associates. How dare you? This is the mood of speaking. But you see the words, what do the words themselves convey? Right? Oh, they have seriously offended you. It could be concern and repentance. But the insight given by the acharyas is that the Lord has sarcasm. The whole series, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation, is spoken in a mood of sarcasm, even though the words are exactly same. And the same words were spoken by Rishabhadev. He is also Vishnu Tattva only. And here Lord Narayan is only speaking. Words are same. Right? But one statement spoken to inspire the Kshatriyas to respect Brahmanas, another, the same statement is spoken by Lord Narayana in a sarcastic mood to actually chastise four Kumaras who had the audacity to come to Vaikuntha and curse the associates of Supreme Lord Narayan himself. Right? And then they say, Mam kadarti kritya vaha bahu atikramam akratam. Ignoring my intentions, they offended you. So they offended you, meaning in since time immemorial, this Jaya and Vijaya have been guarding my Vaikuntha, the gates of Vaikuntha. Since time immemorial, they have never ever acted in a way that would ignore my intentions. Now, you people, you are earthlings, you are staying in earth, you have come all the way to Vaikuntha and you could find out that my parshadas, my associates, Jaya and Vijaya, they have acted against my intentions. Because that was one of the accusations of the four Kumaras towards Jaya and Vijaya. You don't know the intentions of your Lord like that. So now the Lord is telling, oh, so you know the intentions. Right? So till now, since time immemorial, they have never ignored my intentions. And now you have found out that Jaya Vijaya have ignored my intentions. Is that what you think? Like that. So the Lord was actually angry with the Kumaras. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, however, since previous to offending the Kumaras, the doorkeepers had never ignored the Lord's intentions. This is a crooked utterance of the Lord. Crooked means sarcastic. So this is a sarcastic utterance by the Lord, indicating that the Lord was actually angry with the Kumaras. Right? And then the Lord says, oh, I permit the punishment. The curse that you have given, the punishment that you have given, I permit it. What is the meaning of this? So one might think, oh, the Lord is very respectful to the Brahmanas, that he is allowing whatever comes out of their mouth, he permits. But here, it is true in one sense, if he is a qualified Brahmana. But in this context, the Lord is indicating, if I had not given permission, then the punishment ordered by you would not take place at all. You have given your curse. Do you think your curse has independent potency if I don't sanction it? Like that he is asking. And if I will permit the curse to come true, because if I don't permit and if your curse does not come through, then you will feel worthless. And I see and I understand that because I give respect to Brahmanas like you, you feel very intoxicated by the kind of respect you get from me. So this is sarcasm, right? The mood is sarcasm. In a mood to actually chastise the four Kumaras rather than Jaya and Vijaya. Okay. Then the Lord says, Today, I must ask you for forgiveness. I worship the Brahmanas above everybody else. Since my servants disrespected you, I consider that I have committed the offense to you. The Lord says, actually for me, the Brahmanas are the topmost. And because my servants have disrespected you, I consider it as my own offense towards you. So what is the meaning? The Lord says, this indicates that this shows the Lord's great love for the doorkeepers, taking them as his very self. Right? So look, even if Jay and Vijaya disrespected the four Kumaras, the four Kumaras also cursed Jay and Vijaya. But the Lord says that, oh, my servants disrespecting you is as good as my disrespecting you. Which means the Lord is telling, my devotees Jay and Vijaya are non-different from me. He might have as well told, oh, the Brahmanas are non-different from me. So your cursing Jay and Vijaya is as good as my cursing Jay and Vijaya. He does not say that. He says that if they have disrespected you, it's as good as my disrespecting you, because I consider them non-different from me. So in that mode, he says, I consider the Vaishnavas as non-different from me and not you Brahmanas, like that. Then he says, when a servant commits sin using the name of his master, the master gets criticized and has his fame destroyed, just as a white spot on the skin condemns a person as a leper. Even if one white spot is there, people may suspect that, oh, you must have some leprosy or something like that, right? So, and then he says that, I, the Supreme Lord, by hearing whose nectarine glories the whole universe, including the dog eater, is purified, who am famous as a Tirtha because of you, will cut off my own arm if it commits offense against you. So he says, look, you Brahmanas, actually, you know, I am such a great personality that hearing my glories, the whole universe, including dog eaters, they get purified. Why? And because of which I am glorified as a Tirtha, one who has unlimited capacity to purify. But I am famous as a Tirtha because of Brahmanas like you. And therefore, if someone has offended a Brahmana like you, because my servants have have offended a Brahmana like you, what to speak of my servants? Even if my own hands offend you, I will not think twice before cutting off my own arms. Like that the Lord says. So one might think, oh my God, what kind of affection the Lord has for the Brahmanas. In one sense, it is true. But in this context of the Lord addressing the four Kumaras, what does that mean? He says, I have attained fame as a Tirtha because of you. Vishnu Chakradhakur says, these are just words of respect for the sages. These have no real meaning. Because whether the Lord respects the Brahmanas or not, his fame is independent of that. Rather, the Brahmanas are famous. Actually, the four Kumaras themselves will refute all these arguments of the Supreme Lord, actually, in the future verses. We will not see those verses. They say that, my dear Lord, what are you talking about? You are famous because of your affection for us. It's the other way around. Actually, we the Brahmanas, we are famous because of your mercy upon us. If your mercy is not there upon us, then we will be disrespected. Like that, they only refute the argument of the Supreme Lord. And then when the Lord says, I will cut off even my own arm if it offends you. So what is the meaning? The Lord indicates, since the Lord identifies the doorkeepers as his arms, the statement shows his great attachment to them. They are just parts of my own body. Just like if you pinch my arm, I feel the pain. Similarly, if you hurt my dear devotees like Jay and Vijaya, I get hurt. So therefore, even though it may seem like from an external point of view, it may seem like the Lord is actually glorifying the Brahmanas, but in reality, the Lord is actually glorifying his affection towards the Vaishnavas, right? And then this another famous verse, Yat Sevaya Charana Padma Pavitra Renum Sadhyakshata Kilamalam Pratilabda Shilam Nashrir Viraktam Apimam Vijahati Yasyaha Prekshalavarta Itare Niyaman Vahanti. So here the Lord says, Shrirapi, even Mother Lakshmi, Viraktam Mam. You know what? Actually, I am not very attached to Mother Lakshmi. But Yasyaha Preksha Lavartha Itare Niyaman Vahanti. So, Mother Lakshmi, to whom I have no real attachment, but everyone else in this world, they want to get a glance of Mother Lakshmi so that their prosperity can increase. Right? That Lakshmi, na vijahati, she does not give up. Charana Padma Pavitra Renum. The dust of my lotus feet, she always wants to sit at my lotus feet and serve my lotus feet. That Lakshmi. Sadhyakshata Kilamalam. And what is the nature of that lotus feet? The nature of the lotus feet is that it immediately destroys all contamination and it is full of all good qualities. But Yat Sevaya. And you know why that lotus feet is so glorious? Why it is so glorious that even Mother Lakshmi is attached to my lotus feet? Because I am engaged in serving your lotus feet, O Brahmanas. If I did not serve your lotus feet, O Brahmanas, Mother Lakshmi will not respect me. This is the statement made by the Supreme Lord. Okay. What does Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur say? He says, this is again just an external praise by the Lord. Does the Lord's foot dust become pure by service to Brahmanas? Is this true? If the Lord did not serve the Brahmanas, is his foot dust not glorious? Does that destroy all contamination? Is it that the dust of the lotus feet of the Brahmanas have the capacity to purify all contamination, not the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord? And is it that Mother Lakshmi is attached to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord because of serving the Brahmana's lotus feet? Right? So basically, this is spoken in a mood of jest and sarcasm. This is just some external praise but internal sarcasm. Right? In order to make them understand, that is why it is mentioned in the later verse that after hearing such praise, you know, from an external point of view, it was very praiseworthy. But the four Kumaras were very dejected. They were not happy to hear these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the intended mood was that of sarcasm and chastisement. Right? And then in this verse, Lord Narayan tells the same thing that Lord Rishabhdev is telling here. Right? He says, I do not eat the offerings of the sacrifice accepted through my mouth in the form of fire, as much as I eat the morsels filled with ghee enjoyed by the mouth of the Brahmana, who is satisfied by the results of his actions offered to me. He says that, you know, even though fire is called the mouth of the Lord, so if you offer oblations in the fire, it is understood to be offered to the mouth of the Lord. But he says, actually, I'm more happy if you offer rice mixed with nice ghee to the mouth of a Brahmana. So this is true, and this is exactly what Rishabhdev says. There is nothing wrong with it. But what is the mood in which Lord Narayana is speaking this to the four Kumaras? He is indicating, you Brahmanas are fond of eating, therefore you must be fed. Sarcasm. Oh, you like eating. That is why, you know, Brahmana Bhojana Priya, it is mentioned. So Brahmanas like to eat, right? It is well known to the people that I eat through the mouth of the Brahmana. So the Shastras say, Ghasam Charataha, eating morsels. So it can also mean that, like a respectable cow grazing in the field, the Brahmana rejoices by the respect given by me. Right? So, I I have agreed to eat through the mouth of the Brahmana because the Brahmana feels very happy when he hears Namo Brahmanya Devaya. The Lord is very dear to the Brahmana. So that intoxicates him. So just to intoxicate you, I speak like that. But what you think gives me happiness is not actually service to me. If you think you people better actually please the Lord by serving Brahmanas like me, that does not really please me. What really pleases me is devotional service. That's what the Lord indicates here. And then the Lord says, actually, who would not tolerate the offense of Brahmanas? I, whose foot water immediately purifies all the planets and Shiva, carry on my own crown the Brahmanas' pure food dust and by that have attained unlimited wealth of power. He says, do you know why I am so powerful as Bhagavan? I possess all the six opulences in full. Do you know why I am so powerful and I am so purifying that I can purify even Lord Shiva? Because I carry the foot dust of the Brahmanas on my kirita, on my crown. So, Srila Vishwanatha Jagadagur says, this type of respect is actually just a joke. He's just joking with the four Kumaras. And then, again, so many other verses I will, you know, again he says this is just a joke, right? And then he says that in the 11th verse, that even if that Brahmana may not have good conduct, he may have an offensive attitude, but still I am controlled by those people who worship those Brahmanas, right? So even though he may worship the Brahmanas, but the Brahmanas in return may chastise them, angrily criticize them, use harsh speech, but still with smiling face, if they worship that Brahmanas, then that person becomes very dear to me, like that Lord says. So is this a glorification of the Brahmanas? Srila Vishwanatha Jagadagur says, what the Lord wanted to indicate is that it is the natural quality of the Brahmana to become angry. I and my devotee laugh at them. I give natural tolerance only to my devotees and I will be controlled by that alone. Only those good qualities which have been developed through practice of devotional service can please Lord Hari. Otherwise, those good qualities which the Brahmanas may have, which may not have been born out of practice of bhakti, but may have been born out of just some satvaguni ambience. So that does not please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So, and the Lord is not controlled by that. So, he says, then the Lord says, therefore, because this Jaya and Vijaya did not understand my intention, whatever place you are cursing them to go, let them go to that place, but let them quickly return back to me because they are my servants. So the Lord is indicating that. Then the four Kumaras are asking the Lord, you want them to come back to you? You want Jaya and Vijaya to come back to you? So they say, you say that those who commit offense to the Brahmanas commit offense to you. Why do you again show affection for these two, Jaya and Vijaya? They have committed offense to great Brahmanas like us. Why you are showing affection to them? Why do you want them back? The Lord says, what can I do? I cannot control myself. It is not possible to give up my natural qualities. Since this punishment is also my mercy to them, and not punishment, may these two servants quickly live with me again. So this is the Lord's affection for his own devotees, right? So therefore, here, even though similar set of verses that Lord Rishabhdev spoke to his own sons, there was no sarcasm intended. There was a genuine mood of instruction to his Kshatriya sons, And in a genuine way, he wanted to impress upon them that you should develop tremendous sense of respect towards the Brahmanas, and you should follow in their footsteps, and you should follow their guidance. In that mood he spoke. But the same set of verses here, Lord Narayana speaks to the four Kumaras in a totally opposite mood, in a mood of sarcasm, to criticize them, right? So, therefore, the point is that context is very important. You know, when you understand the context, many times in the Shastras, you will see things spoken in a very metaphorical way. There is some alliteration, there is some simile, many figures of speech actually, right? So, like sometimes, and if you don't understand the context, what is supposed to be taken in a metaphorical way, we may end up taking it literally, and what is meant to be taken literally, we may end up taking it in a very metaphorical way, right? Like say, for example, in Hindi, there are phrases like goda bech ke so raha hai, someone may say. So goda bech ke so raha hai, when literally translated in English, it means he is sleeping after selling the horse. This is the literal translation, right? But this has no literal meaning. This has nothing to do with sleeping, and this has nothing to do with selling a horse. So goda bech ke so raha hai means he is in a very carefree mood without any tension, right? So this is a figure of speech. This is not to be taken literally. But how do we know which statement is to be taken literally, which statement is to be taken in a metaphorical sense, which statement is spoken in a mood of jest, which statement is spoken in a mood of sarcasm, which statement in a mood of instruction? That is why the commentaries of the acharyas are absolutely vital. We cannot understand anything on our own, right? So the acharyas commentaries is what can actually reveal what is the real mood of the character. See, I am right now sitting in Shishi Radha Gokulanand temple in Govardhan Eco Village, just outside Radha Gokulanand temple are four samadhis of Shila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Shila Narottam Das Thakur, Shila Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, and Shila Lokanath Goswami, right? So these are acharyas, and these acharyas have what is called as Leela Spurti. So the Lord directly reveals, they can actually see the pastime and write the commentary, right? They are not just writing their opinions. The Lord actually manifests the pastime in front of them so that they can write. This is called as Leela Spurti. Not only does the Lord manifest the pastime, the Lord also manifests the heart of the participants of that pastime, right? So even though the verse themselves does not say that the Lord was speaking these words in a sarcastic mood, how does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur write like this? Because he is not an ordinary personality, right? They are the ones to whom the Lord directly reveals. They have Leela Spurti. So they are not writing their opinions, they are writing what is directly revealed to them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, what is to be taken literally, what is to be taken metaphorically, what is for which direct meaning applies, for which the indirect meaning applies, is there some sarcasm involved, is this spoken in an instructive way, only the acharyas can reveal. We cannot just like that give our own opinions, because neither are they giving their own opinions. Even though if at all there is anyone's opinion which is very valuable, It is the Acharya's opinions. But they still don't write their opinions. They write what is revealed to them by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So therefore, their revelations, through their revelations only we can understand the heart of the characters who are participating in the pastime. Right? So that is why we cannot understand, if we don't have a proper Vaishnava commentary, we cannot actually understand any of these things. Right? So, in this, he is glorifying the Brahmanas for a particular purpose. Rishabhdev is glorifying the Brahmanas because he wants his Kshatriya sons to follow them, take their guidance. Otherwise, the whole Varnashram system will break down. But if you see, Bhagavatam is very unequivocal or very clear in its presentation as to who is dear to the Lord and what should one aspire for. Because hearing all these things, one may think that, oh, maybe I should aspire to become a Brahmana. Right? So we will try to discuss the second theme about episodes where what we can understand as to the difference between Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Right? So Srila Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, so he starts his prayers in the 7th canto. He says, Brahmadaya suragana munayo tasiddhah satvaikatana gatayo vachasam pravahaihi naraditum purugunairaduna pipipru kim toshtumar hati same harirugrajatehe. So he says, how is it possible for me, Ugrajatehe, I am born in a family of demons, how is it possible for me to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How can an Ugrajati person please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Kim me arhati sahatoshtum? Why? What is wrong? He says, Brahmadaya suragana, the devatas headed by Lord Brahma, Munayaha, the great sages, Siddhaha, the perfected beings, Satvaikatana gatayo, who are completely made of mode of goodness, right? Adhunapi, till now, they tried their best to please you, O Narsingadev, na araditum pipruhu, but they could not properly worship you and please you. Even though, puru gunaihi vachasam pravahaihi, by excellent streams of words, they tried to please you. But you are not pleased, even though they are completely mode of goodness, right? But they could not please you. So Prahlad Maharaj is indicating, my dear Lord, it is very hard to understand what quality you see in me that you are so merciful. How could you become pleased by me? So he says, if all these people who had abundance of sattva, they could not please you, I can understand that you are not pleased even by sattva guna. But what I am confused is, if you could not be pleased by sattva guna, then how could you be pleased by someone like me who is filled with tamo guna? I am an asura. Right? What then to speak of a person possessing tamas? The devatas and sages' minds are completely immersed in sattvic, dharma, jnana and austerity. We are immersed in adharma, ajnana and material enjoyment. So how, if this could not please you, if sattva could not please you, how could tamas please you? So he says, and simply by praising you is also not a cause of mercy. Because if praising you could have been the cause of mercy, devatas are also praising you with words which are pure, unmixed with rajas and tamas, such wonderful words with alliterations and similes and metaphors and all kinds of literary ornaments, they are glorifying you. And what do I know? I am born in a Ugrajati. I am the son of Hiranyakashipu, the asura. What prayers can I offer? Right? So like that in one thing that Prahlad Maharaj is indicating is that sattva cannot please the Supreme Lord, if Sattva cannot please, even Tamas cannot please, then how is it that the Supreme Lord became pleased by Prahlad Maharaj's words? So, Prahlad Maharaj says, Manyedana bijanarupata pashrutaujas teja prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga naradana.
So,
Bhagavan gajayutapaya. Right? So, he says, Manye, in my opinion, Prahlad Maharaj says, Dana, Abhijana, Rupa, Tapa, Shruta, Ojas. Wealth, family, beauty, austerity, learning, power of senses, Teja, Prabhava, Bala, Paurusha, Buddhi Yoga. You know, strength of the body, effort, intelligence, karma, jnana, ashtanga yoga. Naradanayahi bhavanti parasya pumso. I have understood, my Lord, that all these things cannot please you, cannot satisfy you. He says, Bhagavan gajayutapaya tutosha bhaktya. The Lord was satisfied with the king of elephants by his devotion. You must have sent some trace of devotion in my heart, oh my dear Lord. That is why you are pleased. Otherwise, I see no qualification that I possess. Manye dhanabhijana rupa tapashrutaujas teja prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga naradanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Gajendra is the proof that you are actually pleased by bhakti, my dear Lord. You must have traced some, you must have spotted some trace amounts of bhakti in my heart. That's why I think you are pleased. Right? So, by bhakti, the Lord was satisfied. Right? So, even though the brahmanas may possess dana, abhijana, rupa, tapa, shruta, aujas, teja prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga, but naradanaya hi bhavanti parasya pumso. Right? So I have a trace of bhakti by the mercy of Narada, and this must please you. And that also, where Narada Muni is not indicated here, and he is not telling you are pleased with me, but all that is written by our acharyas. How do they know? Lila Spurti. Here he is indicating the credit actually goes to Narada Muni. Narada Muni touched me. So the power of Narada Muni's association is so powerful that even though I didn't have his association outside the womb of my mother, I was inside the womb of my mother. And he was not even talking to me, he was talking to my mother. Such is the power of a Vaishnava's association. Now I understand why you are pleased. It is because of the bhakti of Narada Muni. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Right? So, then he says, Vipradvishad gunayutad aravindanaba padaravinda vimukachvapacham varishtam manyeta darpita manovachane hitartha pranam punati sakulam natubhuri manaha. So he says that, my dear Lord, Manye, in my opinion, Shvapacham, even a dog eater, but what kind of dog eater? Tad arpita mano vachana ihita artha pranam. Right? Tad arpita, who has offered to you, right? Manaha, his mind, vachana, his words, ihita, his endeavors or activities, his artha, his wealth, and pranam, his life. So such a person who has offered everything to you, even if he may be a dog eater, he is greater, varishtam, than viprad, than a brahmana. Dvishad guna yutad, he may possess all these 12 qualities which were mentioned in the previous verse. Dana, abhijana, rupa, tapa, shruta, ojas, teja, prabhava, pala, paurusha, buddhi, yoga. All these 12, they may possess. But if he does not, but Aravinda Naba Padaravinda Vimukat, But if he is averse to the lotus feet of you, if he is averse to your lotus feet, Shvapacham Varishtam, this dog eater who has dedicated everything to you, he is better. And Saha Kulam Punati, this dog eater cannot just, he will not just purify himself, he will purify his whole dynasty. But this Brahmana who has no bhakti for you, he cannot even purify himself with those 12 qualities. Those 12 qualities will leave him eventually. Right? So, what else needs to be said? One should consider absence or presence of bhakti. That is most important. That is why Jay and Vijaya are just doorkeepers. Four Kumaras are great Brahmanas. Right? But still, it is bhakti that matters. I consider a dog eater superior to a Brahmana without bhakti. What to speak of Kshatriyas and others, even if endowed with the 12 items mentioned in the previous verse. Doesn't matter. You may have all the good qualities. I am not touched by your qualities. I am touched by bhakti. Right? So if I am not pleased by a person, a Brahmana who may possess all the 12 qualities, then what to speak of a Brahmana with only 7 or 8 or 3 or 4 qualities? And what to speak of Brahmanas who has none of these qualities because he is only a Brahmana in namesake, right? And Sridhar Swami says that these qualities without bhakti produce only pride. One will become proud of these qualities. So that does not please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So here, Prahlad Maharaj through his prayers is making it very clear that even though there may be places in Bhagavatam, actually the Brahmanas may be glorified, but that should never be compared, that should never be understood to be a comparison between Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. There is no comparison actually. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Right. So it is by bhakti that the Lord is pleased. It's not by any of these varnashram qualifications that the Lord is pleased. Right. So the classic episode is the episode of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni in the 9th canto. So now you all know this story quite well. We will just take a few verses from that and see how the Lord is glorifying the Vaishnavas. So, this episode is very similar to the episode of the four Kumaras offending Jay and Vijay by cursing them, right? So, four Kumaras were Brahmanas, Jay and Vijay were Vaishnavas, the four Kumaras were in they cursed Jay and Vijaya to become demons. Durvasa Muni did not curse, but he tried to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was not a Brahmana, he was a Kshatriya. But he was a Vaishnava. Whereas Durvasa Muni was not a Brahmana. He was a Brahmana, but he was not a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? So, when you all know this episode of how Ambarish Maharaj, he wanted to respect Ekadashi. Because Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani Jatane Palana Kori. So Madhava Titi, Ekadashi is connected to Madhava. And if one properly tries to follow this Ekadashi vow, then Bhakti Janani, it gives rise to Bhakti. So therefore, a limb and of course, this following Madhava Titi comes as one of the first 20 limbs of Bhakti. And Srila Rupa Goswami says that it is a non-negotiable limb. This limb cannot be negotiated. It has to be followed under all circumstances. Right? So, when Ambarish Maharaj saw that the Ekadashi, the Dwadashi Parana time is going away and Durvasa Muni had not come. So, he considered, he took advice and he considered and he understood that actually if I take little water, it is considered to be breaking the fast. At the same time, it is not Maryada Vyatikram. It is not breach of conduct. the proper conduct of receiving and feeding a great Brahmana like Durvasaman. So he understood this. So he took just little water just to not even quench his thirst, just to actually break the fast so that Ekadashi Devi can be properly worshipped and respected. Right? Durvasamuni came to know about it. You all know the story. He plucked his hair, created a demon and tried to kill him. But the Sudarshan Chakra, which was protecting Ambarish Maharaj, it killed the demon and started chasing Durvasamuni. So Durvasamuni ran everywhere, nowhere. The Sudarshan Chakra was not sparing him. He went to Satyaloka. Brahmaji raised his hand and he said, I cannot do anything. This is the Lord Sudarshan Chakra. What can I do? And then he goes to Kailash and Lord Shiva says, I cannot do anything. This is the Supreme Lord Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra. I have no potency to protect you. So you have to go to Vaikuntha. So eventually he has now landed in Vaikuntha and begged for forgiveness from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now the Supreme Lord Narayana is going to speak to Durvasamuni. Now he is not going to speak sarcastically. He is going to speak directly. Just like Lord Narayana, by speaking sarcastically, indirectly glorified the Vaishnavas. Now here, Lord Narayana is to Durvasamuni is going to directly glorify the Vaishnavas. So, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aham Bhakta Paradino Hyaswatantra Ivadvija Sadubir Grasta Hridayo Bhaktair Bhakta Jana Priyaha. So, the Lord says, O Dvija, O Brahmana, Aham Bhakta Paradino. I am completely under the control of my devotees. What can I do? You think I can help you? You think I can protect you? Do you think I am free to act the way I want? I am actually completely controlled by my devotees. He aswatantra. I am not at all independent. Sadubir grasta hridayo. My heart is controlled by the pure devotees. So if you want something, if you want my consent, you should go to my devotees because they have my heart. I don't have my heart. Bhaktair, what to speak of my devotee? Bhakta Jana Priyaha, even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So therefore, you are wasting your time, Durvasamuni. Don't waste time. The Sudarshan Chakra is getting behind you. I cannot do anything. I am completely independent. I am sold out to my devotees. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakradakur says here. He says just as Brahma and Shiva cannot save you because they are dependent on me, I also am dependent and I cannot save you. Why couldn't you went to Brahmaji, you went to Lord Shiva, why they could not save you? Because they are dependent on me. Similarly, I cannot save you because I am dependent on my devotees. So, here Durvasamuni, he is asking the Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, he says, you become dependent on your devotees by your nature, but this is not desired by the devotees. You are thus independent. Right? In reality, you are independent. You are Lord Narayan. How can you be dependent on your devotees? He says, that is true. I am independent, but by my will, I become dependent on my devotees because I cannot give up my various sentiments towards them. Yes, according to Siddhanta, you are right. I am independent. I can do anything I want. But I have voluntarily surrendered myself to the devotee. I cannot do anything independently. Right? Durvasamuni says, hey, but you are Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Right? You are very compassionate towards Brahmanas. Don't you see how I am suffering? Isn't that generating some compassion in your heart? So, Lord Narayana says, he says that is true. I do not have such a quality in my mind. Forget that I am Namo Brahmanya Devaya. In your context, you should forget. Why? Because my heart is controlled by the best devotees without desire even for liberation. Sadhubir grastha hridayo. My heart is controlled by the devotees. And they don't want even liberation from me. Seeing that liberation which I want to give them is not attractive to them, I forcibly give my own heart. See, they have done so much for me. They have sacrificed everything for me. And in return, the most precious thing that I have is liberation. I give it to them, they reject it. So what else do I have? I have only my heart. So I have given it to them. Okay. And what will they do with your heart? So the Lord says, accepting that heart, they make that one with their own hearts and fix it there with devotion. So with two hearts, they are performing bhakti there. So my heart is not with me. You please go to them. Therefore, my mercy exists in their mercy. The Lord's mercy follows the mercy of the devotees. If the mercy of the devotee is there, the Lord's mercy will follow. This is well known to all people and is known to you. Why have you come here? In the first case only, you should have fallen at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. Persons protected by the devotees are dear to me. What to speak of the devotees themselves? Right? So we see, you all must have heard a Ramayana Katha in the last many days. And the son of Indra, right? So he came in the form of a crow, and he started giving trouble to Mother Sita, and Lord Ram took a grass and created a Brahmastra out of it, and it started chasing him. And finally, when he came and fell at the lotus feet of Mother Sita only, that Brahmastra could not do anything, right? So persons protected by the devotee are dear to me. I cannot do anything. Similarly, when Jagai and Madai were protected by Nityananda Prabhu, the Sudarshan Chakra of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not do anything, right? So here, the Lord is telling, oh ignorant Brahmana, do you not consider this? Persons protected by the devotees are dear to me. You should seek their protection and you will also become dear to me. Like that. Then he says, the Lord continues, Nahamatmanamashase madbhaktair sadubirvina shriyam chatyantikam brahman yesham gatiraham para. Okay. So he says, O Brahmana, mad bhaktair sadhubir vina, without the devotees, yesham gatir aham para, who take shelter only of me, naham atmanam ashase. You know what? People call me Atmaram. Atmaramam purnakamam nijalabena nityada. Bhagavatam says. Bhagavatam calls me Atmaram. But I will tell you the truth. Atmaram means one who enjoys his own bliss. He does not need anything external. But in reality, the Lord says, I am not Atmaram. Even to enjoy my own bliss, I need the presence of my devotee. Naham atmanam ashase madbhakteir sadhubirvina. Without my devotee, I do not wish to enjoy the bliss of my own self. Shriyam atyantikam, I may possess the six great opulences because of which I am called Bhagavan, but I do not wish to enjoy those qualities and my own bliss in the absence of my devotees. Therefore, it is mentioned in one of the shlokas that it is mentioned, Shri Vaikunta Viraktaya Swami Pushkarini Tate Ramaya Ramamanaya. So it is mentioned that the Lord, Shri Vaikunta Viraktaya, he has become detached from Vaikunta because there are so many devotees who are staying in the banks of Swami Pushkarini in Tirupati. So So the Lord has left Vaikuntha and he has come to the banks of Swami Pushkarini so that he can take the association of his devotees. Right? So he says, "Oh Brahmana, without my devotees, even though I am Atmaram," he says. So here Durvasa Muni asks. So he's asking, how much are the devotees your object of affection? How much do you love them? He says, "Listen, O Durvasa, I am called Atmarama because I enjoy my own bliss, but I do not desire that enjoyment without the devotees. In reality, to tell you the truth, keep it to yourself, actually I am not Atmarama. I need devotees to enjoy my own bliss also. In fact, I will tell you another more deeper secret," he says. "More than my own bliss from my Swarupa, I desire the bliss from the Swarupas of my devotees. Even though both of us have spiritual forms," both here refers to the Lord and the devotees. Right? "Even though both of us have spiritual forms, the mature form of the spiritual function called mercy exists in the bhakti within the devotee. Since it is the essence of Chit Shakti, since it gives bliss even to my Swarupa, and since it attracts even my Swarupa. My form is spiritual, my devotee's form is spiritual, but compared to both of our forms, the spiritual form of my devotee is superior to my own spiritual form, because the kind of mercy that is there in the form of my devotee, to that extent it is not there in me. So therefore, I consider at the devotee's form to be a more complete manifestation of my own Swarupa than my own form." Like that the Lord says, right? Then he says, "Ye dharagara putrapta pranan vittam imam param hitva mam sharanam yataha katam tam styaktum utsahe." So, he says, he may say, Durvasa Muni may say, "Hey, but my dear Lord, you are talking so much about your devotees, but you are known as Namo Brahmanya Deva. You are supposed to be very compassionate and very affectionately disposed towards the Brahmanas. How come you are speaking like this? Don't you see, don't you get compassion seeing me?" So the Lord is asking, this pure devotee like Ambarish Maharaj, hitva dara agara putra apta pranam vittam, they have given up their homes, they have given up their wives, they have given up their children, they have given up their relatives, riches, and even their own lives. For what? Mam sharanam yataha, just to serve me. They have given up everything. Imam param, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next life. Katam stam styaktum utsahe. And they have not given it up to attain swarga or liberation. They have given up all these things just to please me. What have you given up, Durvasa? Actually, Durvasa means, Vasa means dress. Dur means improper. So Durvasa means one who is improperly dressed. Actually, it's a euphemistic way of telling he is actually not wearing any dress. He is naked. So Durvasa Muni may say, you are talking that Ambarish Maharaj gave his home, wife, children, relatives, etc. He was living with all of them. I am the one, I am not even wearing clothes. Don't you see? Durvasa Muni is telling. So he says, what have you given up, Durvasa? He says, I have given up everything, don't you see? He says, when you created the demon to kill him, what did Ambarish Maharaj do? He was not trying to protect himself. In fact, I had given my Sudarshan Chakra to him. He could have used it against the demon and you. He did not even pray for protection. He did not use that Sudarshan Chakra against you, whereas I used it against you. Right? So if he did not even consider his body important, Do you think that Ambarish Maharaj would consider his kingdom, his wife, his children important? But when that same Sudarshan Chakra came behind you, what did you do, Durvasa? You are still running. Right? So you went to Brahma, you went to Shiva, you have come to Vaikuntha. Huh? So therefore the Lord says, I know the true value of him and I know the true value of you. What else should I say? Should I tell you, such a fool? Like that he's indicating Durvasa. Then he continues. Mayi nirbaddha hridayah sadava samadarshanah vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satstriya satpatim yata. So he says, yata satstriya, just as a chaste woman, satpatim brings a very gentle husband under control. Vashe kurvanti, they bring them under control. How? Bhaktya. Bhaktya means by service. Right? Similarly, sadhava, the pure devotees, samadarshana, who see others suffering as their own. Right? Mayi nirbaddha hridayaha. They are attached to me in the core of their heart. Mam vashe kurvanti. They bring me completely under their control. Right? So therefore, such people are very dear to me. I am hard to control by Brahmavadis like you, Durvasa, but I am controlled by the devotees. Like that. And then the Lord says, Matsevaya pratitam te salokyadijatushtayam nechanti sevaya purnaha kutonyatkala viplutam. Matsevaya pratitam te. Just by my service, they automatically get salokyadijatushtayam. Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya, Sarupya, all four types of personal liberation, they automatically get just by serving me. Na ichchanti, but they don't actually desire it. Why? Sevaya purna, because they are completely satisfied by serving me. The bliss of serving me keeps them completely satisfied. So they don't desire even the four types of mukti. Kutonyat kala viplutam. What is to be said of any perishable happiness, they definitely don't desire it. Okay. So therefore, they are not like you. You are after liberation. You want liberation. They don't even want liberation. So who is great? You are great or they are great? Therefore, the Lord says, Sadavo hridayam mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti naham tebyo managapi. Sadavo hridayam mahyam. The pure devotee is my very heart. Which means, what does it mean? What pains him, pains me. Sadunam hridayam tuham. I am the heart of the pure devotee. What does that mean? Whatever pleases him, it pleases me. Madanyatena jananti. My devotees do not know anything else but me. Naham tebyo managapi. And I do not know anything more than what they do. Right? So why is the Lord speaking this? Because Durvasa Muni, so he is telling, the Lord is indicating to Durvasa Muni that even though I want to give you the suitable result for causing pain to my devotee, I do not do so. Actually, I want to punish you sufficiently, Durvasa, but I am not able to punish you. You know why? Because I am affectionate to Brahmanas. If only you had not been a Brahmana, you can't imagine how much I would have punished you. Actually, the devotees are my heart. You who wanted to afflict my Ambarish, you have afflicted my heart. Then the Lord says, then Durvasa Muni says, so Durvasa Muni says, okay, if I offended you, I immediately fall at your feet and beg forgiveness. Please relieve me of this suffering. So in response to this, he says, Sadunam hridayam tuham. I am the devotee's heart. When the devotee's heart is pleased, I am pleased. So therefore, go to Ambarish and please him. So then, Durvasa Muni says, look, he only invited me. I didn't go uninvited. right? Which is not true. Actually, he went there uninvited only. He invited me and then he did not feed me and instead he ate. Do you not see his fault? Right, till now you are only criticizing me. Let us for once at least talk about what Ambarish Maharaj did to me. He invited me for prasadam. He did without feeding me. He ate. Don't you see that fault? So he says, Madanyatena Jananti. They don't know any Brahmanas. They don't know anyone else but me. The devotees do not know anyone else but me. Ambarish does what I desire him to do. He understood that I wanted him to break the Ekadashi fast. He did that. He does not know anything else. Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. He does not know anything beyond that. And Durvasa Muni says, so what do you mean? Please tell me, between a Brahmana and a Dwadashi, right, which is more respectable as Dharma? I want to hear from you, O Supreme Lord, between Brahmana and Dwadashi Parana, which is more important? Right? So he says, Naham Tebhyo Managapi. And my dear Durvasa Muni, he says, I do not know anything more than what my devotees know. So that also I will not answer you. You go and ask Ambarish Maharaj only. He will only tell you what is great. Right? Please go ask Ambarish. He will teach you, since you are so ignorant of the conclusions of the scriptures on Dharma. Actually, between a Brahmana, to respect a Brahmana and respecting Ekadashi, actually respecting Ekadashi is more important. Because it is a direct limb and a more essential limb of this. I also have no knowledge. I do not know anything more than they do. Since the Shruti says that drinking water is both eating and not eating, Ambarish has equally respected the Brahmana and the Dwadashi. That's what he says. He has equally respected. But you are ignorant. You do not know that. That is hinted. And Durvasa had not asked Ambarish about this, since he should be made to understand the superiority of the Dwadashi over all Dharma because of its bhakti by seeing the results of his actions. So actually, to honor Ekadashi and Dwadashi, that is more important. And Durvasa Muni, because he did not have pure devotional faith, he did not know this. Right? So the Lord says, Upayam kata yishyami tava vipra shrunushvatat ayam hi atma vicharaste yatastam yahi machiram sadushu prahitam tejaha prahartu kurute shivam. He says, O vipra, tava upayam kata yishyami. If you are interested, my dear Durvasa Muni, I will tell you a method by which you can protect yourself. Tat shrunushva. Please hear carefully. Okay. Machiram tam yahi, without wasting a second, run to Ambarish Maharaj. Yataste ayam atma abhicharaha, because of whom you uttered a curse. Sadushu prahitam tejaha, one so-called prowess when employed against a devotee, prahartu kurute ashivam, it certainly harms the person who employs it. Learn this very critical principle. Never ever try to show your power to a Vaishnava. That's what he's indicating. I will clearly tell you the method of deliverance. Please listen. Go to Ambarish, whom you cursed in order to kill him. He is merciful and he will save you. No one else can. You should not think that Ambarish will harm you, since he is a devotee. He is not like you. Right? And then he says, Tapo vidya cha vipranam nishreyasakare ube te vadurvinitasya kalpe te karturanyata. So, Durvasa Muni may say, I am a Brahmana, I am endowed with austerity, knowledge, and all these things. How can Ambarish protect me? He is just a Kshatriya. He does not have knowledge and renunciation that I have. The Lord says, Vipranam tapo vidya ube nishresakare. For a Brahmana, certainly austerity and learning are very auspicious, right? Te eva. But those same austerity and knowledge, durvinitasya, if it is there in a person of bad conduct like you, kartuhu anyata kalpate, such austerity and learning give opposite results. That's why, endowed with knowledge and austerity, you are still running helter-skelter for your own life. And Ambarish Maharaj is still peacefully standing there only, and nothing has happened to him, right? He says, Durvasamuni says, how is it possible that a Kshatriya like Ambarish is capable of delivering me endowed with austerity and knowledge? Austerity and knowledge cannot exist in you since you are not qualified. Rather, they become opposite. Knowledge and austerity in a person of bad conduct produce opposite results. Right. Then he says, Brahmam stad gacha badram te nabagatanayam drupam shamapaya mahabhagam tatashantir bhavishyati. So therefore, O Brahmana, tad gacha nabagatanayam drupam, immediately run to the son of Nabaga, who is Ambarish Maharaj. Badram te, only that will bring you good fortune. Kshamapaya mahabhagam, and try to please him, beg for forgiveness. Tata shantir bhavishyati, then you can have peace. Okay. So in this way, the Lord speaks, and then you know the story. Immediately, Durvasa Muni ran and fell at Ambarish Maharaj's feet. And Ambarish Maharaj saw that he was embarrassed. First thing, he was embarrassed that a Brahmana like Durvasa Muni fell at his feet. And on top of that, immediately he felt that Durvasa Muni was going to offer some praise of Ambarish Maharaj. He became all the more embarrassed. So what did Ambarish Maharaj do? Immediately he started offering prayers to Sudarshan. Sudarshan Chakra. Famous prayers. We will not go through them. But in the essence, is that Ambarish Maharaj says, my dear Sudarshan, for the benefit of our entire dynasty, as a favor to us, please favor this poor Brahmana. Right? If you desire to benefit our dynasty, let it not happen that because of me, a great Brahmana gave up his life. You know, that is a big insult to our whole dynasty. So please don't do that. Then Sudarshan says, replies to Ambarish Maharaj, but I have been engaged by the Lord for killing your enemies. So therefore, I will kill. Then Ambarish Maharaj says, oh, is that your only engagement? Huh? You are the deliverer of the universe. You are the protector of the universe. You should protect. And Durvasa Muni is also a part of the universe. Please protect him. So then Ambarish saw that Sudarshan Chakra is not willing to hear even to Ambarish Maharaj's oath. So Ambarish Maharaj, so he took an oath. He says, Shapat liya unhone, you know, he took an oath. He said, if our family has given any charity, if it has performed any sacrifices, if we have performed our duties, if we have given shelter to Brahmanas, if we have fed the Brahmanas, then let this Brahmana be freed from the Sudarshan Chakra. Still, Sudarshan Chakra was not willing to spare Durvasa Muni. Then he took a more stronger oath. He said, Ambarish Maharaj said, if the one Supreme Lord is pleased with us because he has love for all beings, may this Brahmana be freed from the pain of being burnt. So, this was a very powerful vow. He has told, if the Lord loves me, the Lord loves the devotees like Ambarish Maharaj more than his own life. So Sudarshan had to stop here, right? So then immediately Durvasa Muni was freed and he became joyful. He offered Ambarish Maharaj the highest blessings and he praised the king. And he spoke, Aho Ananta Dasa Nam Mahatvam Drishtam Adhyame Kritagasopi Yadrajan Mangalani Samihase. So, Adya, today is a very auspicious day. Why? Not because I have been freed from Sudarshan Chakra. Today is auspicious. Ananta Dasanam Mahatvam Drishtam Me. Today I have witnessed the greatness of the Lord's devotees. I have understood who they are. Yad Kritaga Sopi, even though I tried to kill you, Ambarish Maharaj, Mangalani Sami has said, you have prayed for my good fortune. So today, Aho Ananta Dasanam Mahatvam Drishtamadhyame. And then he says, Dushkarakonu Sadunam Dustyajova Mahatmanam Yair Sangrihito Bhagavan Satvatam Rishabo Harihi. Kahanu Dushkaraha. What is impossible to do? Dustyajova. And what is impossible to give up? Sadunam Mahatmanam. For the devotees, what is impossible to do? What is impossible to give up? Right? Yair Sangrihitaha Bhagavan Harir Satvatam Rishabha. Why they can easily give up offenses and other things? Because they have achieved the Supreme Personality of God as their wealth. Okay. So, Yannama Shruti Matrena Puman Bhavati Nirmala Tasya Tirtha Padakimva Dasanam Avashishyate. What is impossible for the servants of the Lord whose feet are like holy places? Merely by hearing their names, a person becomes completely purified. So here is a Brahmana glorifying a Vaishnava, right? Rajan, anugrihitoham tvaya atikarunatmana mad agam prishtatakritva pranayanme abhirakshitaha. Rajan, O king, anugrihitoham, you have shown me great mercy. Tvaya atikarunatmana, and in this way you have shown that you have such a compassionate broad heart. Mad agam prishtatakritva, even though I tried to kill you, you completely neglected it. Prana yanme abhirakshata, you have saved my life by offering such prayers to Sudarshan. So in this way, Durvasa Muni also glorifies Ambarish Maharaj, and then the whole thing, the episode continues. So the point is that there are places in Bhagavatam where the Brahmanas are glorified, but that is a particular context. But otherwise, Bhagavatam glorifies Bhagavan, Bhakta and Bhakti and nothing else. The prime message of Bhagavatam is not worship the Brahmanas. Of course, we do worship the Brahmanas, but that is not the prime message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Even though here Rishabhdev is telling that, you should worship the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas are worshipped even by me. But that has a very specific purpose. As a Kshatriya, you should rule following the... But interestingly, if you see, one verse before that, Rishabhdev says that for your spiritual guidance, you should all follow Bharat Maharaj, he says. For that, he does not say follow the Brahmanas. And this was an instruction for all the Brahmanas also. Because Bharat Maharaj was the greatest of devotees. He says, you should worship me. And in order to know how to worship, you should follow Bharat Maharaj. But for ruling, for the purpose of ruling your kingdom, you should take guidance from the Brahmanas. For that purpose, he glorifies the Brahmanas. So there is a context to it. And then in the glorification of Brahmanas by the Supreme Lord Narayan, that was mostly, with sarcasm. So why would the Supreme Lord glorify that Brahmana who has actually offended a Nitya Parshada like Jaya and Vijay? And here also we see in the case of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. Let me see how I'm doing with time. Oh, it's already time. So I had one small theme left, but I think maybe some other time I'll take that theme. So I'll pause here, and if there are any quick comments, reflections, questions, I will take. So thank you all very much for your patient listening.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, that was so wonderful session with all shlokas you have quoted. It was very wonderful hearing. Thank you so much for that wonderful class. Devotees, any questions or comments, realization, you can go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranama, Gurushta Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji, and so much information. Thank you so much. It feels like you should keep talking and we should keep hearing. You have so much knowledge. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, such a wonderful class. We didn't feel that, you know, it should stop.
You shouldn't stop, Prabhuji. Keep on talking.
Yeah, but I have. Yes. Yeah, you all have other important duties to do and I have another class in another 5 minutes.
Yes, you do have another duty. So I can just replay, you know, listen them. Recording again and again. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much for a very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one quick question. We see how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes very deep and gives different explanations. You know, for example, simple words of sarcasm of Lord Vishnu. It is very heart-touching in how Vishnu loves the Vaishnavas. Now, how can we understand that Sukadeva Goswami doesn't explain this context? Meaning, when Sukadeva Goswami explains, it looks like he's just glorifying the Brahmanas, meaning he's glorifying the four Kumaras. And, you know, why did Vyasadeva not touch it? And, you know, then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comes in and comments on it. How can we understand that, Prabhuji?
Otherwise, what is the need for Acharya's commentaries? Of course, if you see Prabhupada's explanation, he uses these verses to actually, wherever Brahmanas are there, he takes them as Vaishnavas and uses the same verses as glorification of Vaishnavas. So, actually, it is mentioned that the pastimes of the Lord are like a Vaidurya stone. A Vaidurya stone, you look from one direction, it is red in color. You look from another direction, it is blue in color. You look from another direction, it is green in color. So it is not wrong to say, if someone says that the Vaidurya stone is blue in color, it is right. If another one says that the Vaidurya stone is green in color, that is also right. If it is red in color, that is also right. But the point is that the Lord's pastimes are like that. They are like Vaidurya stone. They are multifaceted, and different facet is revealed to different acharyas. So a particular facet was revealed to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. A different facet was revealed to Srila Prabhupada. He does not at all touch upon this whole aspect of actually sarcasm. He takes it literally and explains how actually Vaishnavas should be respected like that. So that is another facet of the same pastime which was revealed to another Acharya. So that is the genius of Sukadeva Goswami, that he presented the pastime in such a way that all these facets could be covered by multiple Acharyas. There is no one explanation, there are multiple explanations.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. I think that's a beautiful explanation. It gives more clarity. Prabhuji, one more question if you have time.
Yes,
Prabhuji, from a practical understanding, you know, when we look at the hierarchy of, you know, the four Varnas and then Vaishnavas are on the top, but it also looks like that one should acquire Brahmanical qualities to become a Vaishnava, right? Meaning, you know, because most of the quality, like mode of goodness and everything is in place. So, is my understanding that correct, you know, that we should become Brahmanical before we can even aspire for Vaishnava? Just trying. Hope my question is clear.
Yeah, I mean, good you asked this question. This actually naturally takes me to the section which I had not covered. Good you brought this point. I will very briefly touch that point because you asked. So, for that, I will have to share the screen. Just for a few seconds, I'll share. So, the last section which I wanted to touch was this very same point. Good, you yourself brought it out so that I will not be accused of extending the time. So, it's in response to your question. So someone may say, but I am not like Ambarish Maharaj and I don't have such good qualities. Shouldn't I first acquire such good qualities, or shouldn't I understand that actually the Brahmanas are superior to me? Actually, the Lord, as you mentioned, you know, the Brahminical qualities. Titikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadavo Sadhubhushana. So this is mentioned by Srila Kapila Dev as these are the qualities of a Vaishnava. First thing is, we should understand that these are not Brahminical qualities. Yes, the Brahmana may achieve it, but when a Vaishnava achieves these qualities through practice of bhakti, these are proper Vaishnava qualities, right? So, and then he says, Mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam matkrite tyakta karmanas tyakta swajana bandhava. He says that even though those qualities are there, those are secondary qualities, he says. The primary quality is that he has exclusive devotion unto me. Mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam. They perform drida bhakti to me, exclusive devotion. That is their primary quality. And when that is there, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura. It is by practice of bhakti that all the good qualities follow. Right? Because practice of bhakti, what does it do? Tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadayaschaye chetayetair anaviddham stitam sattve prasidati. By practice of bhakti, even though bhakti helps us transcend the three modes, but by bhakti one first transcends the first, the two lower modes, rajas and tamas. And when the two lower modes, rajas and tamas, are transcended, and when sattva gets fixed, then what happens? All these good qualities of titikshava, karunika, suhrida sarvadehinam, and humility and tolerance, everything manifests. Right? So it is by otherwise, those good qualities which non-devotee brahmanas may possess. Of course, to call someone a non-devotee brahmana in itself is an oxymoron. Right? So anyone, even if he is to be called as a proper shudra, he should be a devotee actually in first case. So let's say, for example, if he is he may possess Brahminical qualities, but that Brahminical qualities is like if you paint a wall, right, with just chuna, you know, what do you call lime, but without a binder, you know, you don't mix the binder with the lime and you paint the wall white. It looks very white from a distance. But when you go and sit with your back to the wall, and when you get up, there will be a black patch there. And all that lime will be sticking to your coat or your shirt, right? So those good qualities are there, but the good qualities cannot be bound. So the binder, that which binds that good quality to the soul, is bhakti actually. When that bhakti is not there, it is like, you know, painting a house with very crystal clear white lime without any binder. Anytime anyone touches, all that white lime will be washed away. So that is why he says, harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna. For one who is not a devotee, where is the good quality? You may say, oh, how can Bhagavatam make such a statement? I have seen so many non-devotees possessing wonderful qualities. The only thing is, till they acquire bhakti, that those good qualities are very transient, and at any time they may go away. That is the point. Is that relevant, Prabhu?
Oh, yes, Prabhuji. Very beautifully and very clear, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. I just have had one doubt. As you said that, of course, Krishna loves his devotees more than the Brahmanas. And in the dialogue of four Kumaras, it's like it seems it's a sarcastic way. But I just wanted to ask, Krishna not only says, but has proved also in one of the wonderful section or Leela, Sudama meeting Krishna. He has proved that he has not only told in the Bhagavatam and he has said, but he has shown us how respectfully he has served Brahmana. So how can we understand that? Is Sudama a pure devotee come Brahmana, or how can we understand it?
Of course, we know for sure that Sudama was not just a pure devotee. He was an eternal associate of the Lord in the mood of Sakyaras. And we have to understand the glorification of the glorification of Sudama by Krishna was as a Brahmana was because Krishna himself was playing the role of a Kshatriya. But the internal mood of reciprocation of Krishna with Sudama was not because he was a Brahmana, but because he was a devotee. So this pastime could be seen from an external point of view and from an internal point of view. So if you see it from an external point of view, he reciprocated because he was a Brahmana. But from an internal point of view, it was because he was a devotee. Otherwise, the same treatment the Lord should have given Durvasa Muni, and the same treatment the Lord should have given the four Kumaras. They were more famous Brahmanas actually. But in reality, the opposite treatment they got. Is that relevant, Mother?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, so.
Hey Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Devotees, Prabhuji, do you have some more time? Any questions can you take
actually,
up?
Actually, I'll have to rush, Mataji. I have another.
Okay, thank you.
So, thank you very much.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you. Thank you so much. So, devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Closing the call, Hare Krishna, your duties.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.